first get to my first class, I'm just ill-prepared. Get everything ready. All right. Amen. Let's see. Father Aaron, would you pray for me? We felt like today the Lord wanted me to speak to you, which is always speaking to me first, out of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5. Jesus said at the end of this, Matthew 7, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house, it fell, and great was its fall. And when Jesus had finished, the crowds were amazed at what he just said. So, real important, you know, as according to Scripture, these are the whole teaching on the Sermon on the Mount from 5 to 7 is very foundational, right? That if we build our lives on these principles, then when the storms come, we'll stand, right? And, of course, the other side of the coin, if we don't, then great will be our fall. So, we want to stand, right? And there can be parts of us that stand at times and parts of us that aren't, right? We can be like that. We can be kind of bipolar, Christian bipolars. Yes. Okay, we're starting in 5 when Jesus saw the crowds, 5:1. He went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth, and he began to teach them, saying, we always say blessed, but we don't say that. We say blessed, right? We don't say blessed, you know. But somehow, when you preach this, you've got to say blessed, right? Sounds better, doesn't it? Sounds like I may know what I'm talking about or something. Last week, we were the title Ramblings of Insanity. So this week, it'll be Ramblings on the Mountain. So, sounds better than Insanity on the Mountain. We'll just put Ramblings on the Mountain. All right, he opened his mouth and began saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And these are, the way I kind of see them in my mind is this is like the entrance into the kingdom, the very first thing he said. And then, I believe each of these principles we talk about are built upon each other. Okay? So the very one to enter in, like you go through the swinging doors, you know, like in my mind I see like the saloon doors, you know, in the Westerns when they had those cool doors. That's how we enter in. And the word bless is a really cool word because it's to make large blessing, you know, to expand so God can pour out His favor on you. So when He says bless, from the old Hebrew word in the Old Testament, Asher, says bless. This is the New Testament equivalent of that. So we really don't have a word, but it's like, do this and you will expand your life for a blessing. That's cool, right? We want that. So being poor in spirit, you know, that word poor is not like I'm kind of poor, I don't have nothing. This means like absolute destitute, like a pauper. The word actually means being bent over. You're so poor, you're bent over, right? Like someone in rags bent over. They are just so poor and you know, that's what it means. So the very entrance into the kingdom is we got to realize how spiritually poor and destitute, like a pauper, we are. Apart from Christ, in Revelation, the chapter 4, I believe, to the last church. You don't have to turn there. You can. What church is that? I forget it. Oh, to Laodicea. You know, he writes to them and talks to them. They think that, hey, man, we need nothing. You know, we've got everything. And he said, well, you don't realize actually how miserable, he says, miserable, wretched, naked you are apart from me. You know, ask that you ourselves for your eyes to be open so you can really see how much. So somewhere they drifted off from their identity in Christ. Right. So, of course, knowing that we're nothing apart from Him, we're just absolutely impoverished, bent over in rags and destitute. Okay, that's how you enter the kingdom. You want to enter the kingdom of God, then realize that about yourself, okay? And I think we all do. That's how we come to Christ, right? And so I just really think that that's important. So, one. All right, blessed are the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we remain kind of that way to experience the kingdom. You know, it's from Him. All right, the second one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word mourn there is like to deeply grieve, where you're really moved. And we've talked about this a lot, and you know, heard teachings here at Christ the King. Blessed are those who mourn, and the mourning here is where you mourn over your own sin, right? Where you're grieved about it, where it grieves you. Recently, Tisha and I've been reading this book, and a guy named Jimmy Evans, great, one of the best books I've ever read on marriage. Has some of the best teachings on marriage. Really good. I like him because he preaches like for 20 minutes. And I like that because I can kind of remember what he said. And his stuff is so powerful and so convicting. I mean, they just use Scripture because it's all in here. And as I was rereading these things, I was deeply grieved and moved and mourned my sin, you know. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't a guilt trip, or I wasn't any kind of false guilt or anything like that. There's a real 2 Corinthians chapter 7 has a great teaching in there about godly sorrow. And a godly sorrow is this, you know, this mourning right here, where you're deeply grieved over your own sin, and you own it. And one of the hardest things to do in ministry, especially when you're ministering to couples, is, and I tell people when they come sit in front of me, I am not a referee. I'm not going to referee a fight between y'all, right? What you got to do is you're going to have to own your stuff, right? And if you can't hear that, if you can't hear that you have faults, right? You have sin, then we're not going to be able to go very far. If you hear pointing fingers and accusing and all that stuff, I said, we're not going to do this. So it's real important, you know, the second principle as we come into the kingdom is being able to mourn, to grieve, to areas of our lives where God is showing us, where we know that we are grieving His Spirit. Very important. Okay? It's important too in our lives, especially, I don't know why I'm going back to the marriage thing, is it's important that we're grieved over what we do, you know, and because the foundation of our lives, and I use my desktop every time, I'll always start off there. Every life is built on a foundation. And I said, your foundation, I'll just use this, I'm married for a guy. I said, if you're not doing what you're doing unto the Lord to please Him, then you have no foundation. There's got to be a reason. Everybody has a reason that they do what they do, right? And your reason, if you want to, you know, you really want to get this and you want to grow, has to be, this is between you and God. God is holding you accountable for how you act, how you treat, you know, what you say. And if you can get that, knowing that God's not rejecting you, it's about making you better, then you'll go a long ways. So I love the second part of that. For, you know, blessed are those who can mourn, who can own their stuff, they shall be comforted. And that word is the paraclete, where we get Holy Spirit. They shall be Holy Spirited. They shall be filled with. And in Luke, Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, he just kind of does a shorter version of it. Said, blessed are those that you will be happy. You'll be singing. There will joy will come. Okay, joy comes after the morning. So, enter in. We're poor. We're destitute. Second thing, you got to own your stuff. Right. Very important. And we all, you know, we've all been in places where we're, you know, accusing everybody and everything around us because it's everybody's fault and not mine, right? And like Adam did, that woman you gave me, you know, that's the reason I did this. All right. Third one, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. That word gentle there is, you know, because we don't use that term a lot in our language. You know, we think of the gentle person. You know, I think of Ryan. I'm seeing Ryan back there. Ryan's a gentle person, right? Me, I think he is. Tracy just rolled, looked at him, cut her eyes at him. So maybe not. well, what we see is, right? He's one of the nicest guys I've ever known. But this word is really the word for humble, humility. You know, humility is extremely important. I got some verses here, and we'll just kind of go through them really quick in the Psalms and Proverbs that talks about humility. And I think one of the foremost characteristics of a humble person is that they're teachable, right? God hangs out with the humble. And this is some really cool verses. If you want to just mark them in your Bible, I'll go through them kind of really quick here. I just enjoyed going back and reading them. Applying them to my life. Where's that first one? Okay, 10:7. This is Psalm 10, verse 17. I should have folded my pages down for this. 10:17. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. Psalm 25:9. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. He teaches them his ways. 37:11, Psalm 37:11. But the humble will inherit the land, and they will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. 69:32. The humble have seen it or see it and are glad. So the humble are able to see what God is doing. 76:9. It says, when God arose to judgment to save the humble of the earth. See, Psalm 113:6. Let's go through these just quickly. Says who, I'll read the verse 5, who is like the Lord, who is enthroned high, who humbles himself to behold the things in the heaven and on the earth. Proverbs 11, verse 2, there's just a couple in these Proverbs, but they're really good. I'm going to read them. It says, when pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble, there's wisdom. 29:23. It says, a man's pride will bring him low. A humble spirit will obtain honor. Isaiah 66, really good one. One of my favorite ones. Verse 2. It says, "My hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite or broken of spirit, and who trembles at my word." And Psalm 57 says that God hangs out with the contrite or humble. That word is humble. That's who he hangs out with. Through the Gospels, you can go there. Jesus said, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Right? James 4, I believe, verse 10 says, "God is opposed to the proud. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord; He will exalt you." And then, where is that? God is opposed to the proud. Verse 6, James 4, 6. Therefore, it says, "God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." Therefore, submit to God. And I'll read just one more in 1 Peter chapter 5. Don't want to get too bogged down with this. I'm just showing you all these really cool verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you." So blessed are the humble. Right? So many good, cool things that the Lord does to the humble heart in humility. And it says they will inherit the earth or inherit the land. Or, in other words, their area where God's called them to, they will reign, rule and reign over that area. Over your home, over your property, over wherever you are, your work, your land, you will inherit it. All right? So I really like that. "Blessed are the humble, they shall inherit the land." And two, I was going to read these. What verses were those? These are kind of the flip side of that. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Using a lot of scripture tonight, aren't I? No. We'll slow down on that. Tell me that. It says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so he can become wise." I really love that one. 1 Corinthians 8:2. "If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not known as he ought to know." In other words, he doesn't know jack. And then one more, Galatians. Where's that one? Galatians 6:3. "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Right. Now, those aren't things to slam us. Those are the very opposite of humility. That's pride. You know, and I always get tickled at young people coming up in the Lord. It doesn't mean like age-wise, but some, you know, they're like the stages of, you know, when you're like a newborn baby is absolutely totally dependent on everyone's mother, you know. Gets a little older, start feeding himself, you know, kind of pushes, I can do this. Then they grow into what I call spiritual adolescence. That's where they think they know everything, right? Like a teenager, they know everything. You don't know anything. You just, you know, like you hadn't been here for 100 years. They know everything. And, you know, then as they get older, once again, you become dependent on people in the body of Christ. So same things happen in the body. You know, you're dependent on people. Then you become a self-feeder. You know, you start learning some stuff. And then you go, I did really bad. You know, bad. That was really bad. To where you think you know everything. And God has sent you onto the earth to enlighten everyone around you. And God has a way of humbling us right then. and getting us back to a place where, you know, I tell people this all the time, the older I get in the Lord, the less I know. You know, I really do. It's just like, what? Oh my gosh. When I think I know something, all of a sudden I'm shown how much I really don't know about that thing. So, but that's a good place, right? Because that's humility, that's dependent on the Lord, and it's just a safe and it's a blessed place that you widens me to be for God's favor to be dumped on me. Blessed are those, I really like this, and who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be satisfied. You know, righteousness, just a word, godliness, you know, you hunger and thirst to want to be, you know, godly, to walk in righteousness, so you will be satisfied. God will meet you and satisfy you. But I also saw this today. I've never seen this, because that word righteousness is also the word for judicial, you know, a judicial, what was that word? Yeah, judicial verdict. And I was thinking about a word that the Lord shared with the bishop about when you go out and pray for people, you're just pronouncing God's judgment on the enemy, right? And when the Lord was saying that if you will hunger and thirst for righteousness, you know, not only in your life, but for the lives of others, to bring God's justice to them, what He's done on the cross, He'll do it. You'll be satisfied, right? I thought that was a really good word. I never saw it in that light before. I just thought, okay, we hunger and thirst for righteousness to God, you'll meet us. But also, if we hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, His justice in the world. You know, just like it says in Romans 8, the earth is groaning and crying out for the sons of God to be revealed. It's just waiting on us, right? Waiting on us to step into who we are as sons of God, sons and daughters of God. And 7, we could go forever on this one. Did a sermon about that a couple of months ago. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Y'all, I need all the mercy I can get, right? In James, it says God's mercy always triumphs over judgment. And if you give mercy, you'll receive mercy, right? If you go in chapter 7, you want to go further into that. You know, the speck in the log, all that kind of stuff. And if you withhold mercy, then that means... Because we always got to get the flip side of the coin too, right? Give mercy, receive. Withhold mercy, withheld. Right? So, I want to be on there. You know, the opposite of that would be a critical spirit. You know, when a person gets a critical spirit, you know, they're critical with themselves and they're critical with everybody around them. Okay, not a good thing to have, because you don't want to be unmerciful. That's one thing, that the most perfect thing you can be, says you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And in Matthew chapter 6 here, in Luke 6, it says you're to be merciful. So to be perfect is to be merciful. The more mercy you give, the more mercy you receive. If you're going to err, we always say that, right? Err in mercy. Can't go wrong. You'll get it back. It's coming back to you. Okay. Because if we don't want to get our standard of measure, remember, everything will be, the Lord will give us that same standard too. All right, that's when you're going to give, you're going to be judged by the same thing. Okay, I really like this one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And remember, these are all built upon each other, guys. Okay, to purify my heart, I realize I'm poor. My need for Him. I own my stuff. And when I own my stuff, according to 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? And that word pure is a word where there's no admixture. There's no mixture. It's just the pure real deal. Okay? There can't be mixture there. So, God purifies our heart this way when we're especially merciful. When I'm merciful and give mercy back to me, purifies my heart. When I'm owning my stuff, purifies my heart. When I'm humble, purifies my heart, right? Hungering, thirsting for righteousness, purifies my heart. And the great gift of that is you see God, right? Doesn't mean a perfect walk, but if I know I could just be blowing it all the time, y'all.
But if I'm blowing it all the time and I'm owning that, right, and I'm agreeing with God, that's what the word confession means, to agree, and I'm agreeing with Him, I'll see God. It doesn't mean over like a long period of time, you keep doing that and I'll kind of get glimpses, you know, because I know people who blow it a lot, me, and other people, and they have great revelations of God. If you just own your stuff, right, you're cleansed. It purifies your heart, and then you'll see God for who He is. So real important. These are real, real important building blocks for us. And I just really ask the Lord to keep me in that place, purifying my heart. I like this one too. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And I think maybe Bishop, years ago, I think I heard this, I don't know, from Bishop or somebody, that there's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper, right? A peacekeeper just wants to keep peace at all cost and do whatever it takes. Let's just keep the peace, right? And a peacemaker steps into a situation and brings the peace of God, right? Brings peace. A peacekeeper will do, you know, do whatever it takes just to keep peace. Compromise, right? Don't want to rock the boat. So, I've always prayed, I've prayed a lot that the Lord would make me a peacemaker and not a peacekeeper. Because I don't like conflict. I grew up in a lot of conflict. So my natural tendency emotionally is to go where there is no conflict. But you can't live there, right? There's just going to be conflict. And so the Lord always throws me into conflict for some reason, to teach me to be a peacemaker and not a peacekeeper. Because see, a peacemaker isn't bent towards the approval of man. A peacekeeper is. Okay. Peacemaker is upright, receiving his worth and value from God, not from others. And that is a big trap, right? The fear of man brings a snare, Scripture says. It's just a terrible way to live. Because what will happen is you'll discover that everybody just really doesn't like us. You know? It's the truth. Not everybody likes you, and not everybody likes me. The shocker, right? But that's just going to be true. And matter of fact, you know, if you read through there, there's going to be people that hate us, you know, because of Jesus. Okay? So we need to let Him set us free from that and be a peacemaker. So I get a lot of practice living with a house full of women. Okay? Because they're just hormones everywhere, you know, and you got to step in and, you know, there's a wrong way to do it, and I've done it wrong many times and tried to, you know, peacekeep instead of peacemake. The next one. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we really, y'all, we aren't really persecuted, you know. We do know that our brothers and sisters around the world are very persecuted, but we really aren't, you know. We get persecuted if, like, somebody, like I said, doesn't like us, you know, hurts our feelings and we go sulk. But we haven't, you know, thanks be to God, ever been persecuted. But I think those days are coming. You know, we're seeing it now. A lot is coming. It's here. It's coming. You know. And so, and I really believe, too, the Lord was speaking to me about, you know, we're crying out for revival. You know, these are going to be, and Luke, I think that dream that you had, that you shared with us in the Rector's Council a lot, I've thought a lot about that dream, really had to do with entering into the, you know, to this radical, you know, radical giving, you know, everything, just like Acts chapter 2 church. He had a really cool dream. It was really an awesome dream. And 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. I love that. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I really love those Old Testament prophets because God would call them to really step into a situation and speak the word of the Lord, and it was not always well received, was it? They threw them into prison, they beat them, like that. And so I pray that we would have a heart like that, that we would speak the word of God when we're called to do, and not fear the consequences, right? That'll help set you free from the fear of man, right? To speak the word of the Lord wherever we are. I remember Father Mark Waters, and he was a wild man. But I don't know if y'all went downtown with us. We were down there on Broad Street, right there by the mayor's office on the sidewalk. And he was preaching, I mean, to the top of his lungs. He was hollering, walking back and forth, and just preaching the word. You know, people drive by and look at him, and I was out there with him, and I was like, I was really uncomfortable, you know, worrying about what these people, not saying that we've got to do that, but just worrying about what people, oh man, they're going to think we're a bunch of nuts, and we already don't have the best reputation there is in Selma anyway. We've always been that crazy church. But I pray then, Lord, get that out of me. I don't want to ever be ashamed of you and what people think of me, right? So we'll just stop there. Those are the foundational entrance things, you know. Yes. Thank you, Kelly. That makes me feel even better. Yeah. And I found y'all. I don't know. Just being honest with you. Just doing this, going out praying for people like that, you know, there are times that I get uncomfortable, you know. But I don't want that to be put to death. You know, I don't want to be, not that I'm ashamed of it. I just embarrassed, you know, with it. And all of it's tied into what they think of me. That's what I got to die to, you know. And that my identity is Him. And like Paul said, just we become foolish. You know, the world thinks we're foolish, and that's okay. All right. Well, I pray that God will, you know, as we're moving into revival, which we are, and I felt it I've been here since 1991, never seen a time like this. I've seen individuals, God doing stuff with individuals, but I've never seen a time where all of us, the whole body, is like, and I've had a vision of this several times, crossing the Jordan, right? Crossing the Red Sea, of course, was a symbolic of baptism. Crossing the Jordan, the representative of the Christian life, entering into His fullness. And so I keep seeing this vision of all of us crossing the Jordan. You know, and the very first place they had to take down was Jericho. That was the biggest and baddest, right there. Very first one. And so as we're moving across, I think that's going to be our Jericho. Pulling down, dying to what people think about us, right? And anybody who's been in Christ the King for a while, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And you get those looks when people find out where you go to church and everything. But I always tell people, when you move somewhere, ask people, you know, what church has the worst reputation here? What church is talked about the most? Go there. Because that's where God is moving. Right? Well, amen. Well, may the peace of the Lord and all these blessedness, may He expand you to be blessed. His favor to be poured out on you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Desi got the good word, right? Expand you to be blessed, man.